Oh boy, you guys, there is a new loot crate coming at your face this month. For the month of May, the theme is Guardians, because Guardians in the galaxy of the galaxy, there's a galaxy, there's some Guardians, they're all looking out for it. Well, the part two of that movie just came out. It's a franchise now, just like Star Wars or Goonies. I know Chunk. Chunk is my pal, Jeff Cohen from Goonies. You never recognize him now. Really trimmed up. It's a fancy Hollywood lawyer. Anyway, the stuff you can get today from Loot Crate, if you get in now, you know, before the 19th of the month at 9 p.m. Pacific time, you can get, one lucky subscriber is going to win a Mega Crate. That's going to be bigger than a regular crate, hence the prefix Mega. And that's featuring a premium format Groot figure from Sideshow Collectibles, the best collectibles in the land. That stands over 22.5 inches tall. That's like almost 2 feet of a collectible. That's 2 feet of collectibles right there. If you're going by distance, that's a lot of collectibles. Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. You should be excited about it. Last month's theme was Investigate. And so if you got that, you know, maybe you got it. Maybe your mail carrier investigated it themselves and took some stuff out for personal use. These are authentic, licensed, and exclusive products. They adhere to all the laws. If not, I'll get Chunk, my lawyer. They'll get on it. That's not a legally binding statement. Anyway, every month includes a different theme with new exclusive items over $45 in value for every crate, and that's less than $20 a month. Get out of here. That's over half the price of what it should cost. As I said before, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, it's over. You're done. So head over to www.lootcrate.com/boogie, B-O-O-G-I-E. Enter the code boogie, that's B-O-O-G-I-E, once again, and save $3 off any new subscription and get all this fun shit the kids love. I don't know what a lot of it is, if I'm being honest, but that doesn't mean I enjoy it. If I was around when this stuff was for me, you know, if it was, and I was 19, and they were like, here's a... Everybody from the 1987 Taro team, freestyle team from 1987, it'd be all over it. Skyway 2, Tough Wheel Mags. If they had this for BMX bikes in the early 90s, late 80s, you bet your ass I'd be on it. But they don't have it now. It's for movies. And if you like it, go ahead and do that. Lootcrate.com/boogie. Code is boogie. All right.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Charlie Chan's. Remember those were candies, but they were just...
What kind of candy were they?
There was a whole family. There was like Lemon Heads.
Okay.
There was Johnny Apple Seeds.
Boston Baked Beans.
Yeah.
They come in the little boxes. Okay.
And Jawbreakers were in there.
Jawbreakers.
And Charlie Chan's.
I don't remember Charlie Chan's.
It was just, for whatever reason, an Asian-themed candy.
What flavor was it?
I thought it was cinnamon. I thought it was like how... Like, all right, like round candy. There's Lemon Heads, like round yellow ones, Lemon Heads.
Yeah.
Round green ones, Johnny Apple Seeds,
yep.
Right?
Maybe. Johnny Apple something, yeah. Or Apple something.
Grape ones? Those Grape Apes? Grape.
I don't know if I remember the...
Alexander the Grape.
See, I don't remember that.
That because it sounded like it'd be right.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was one, and it just was... There were Charlie Chan's.
Hmm.
And it was... Like, there's no reason this candy's racist. Like, there's no reason for it to be Asian.
Yeah. But...
Right? I could be wrong. This could be the mandala effect that we tried to talk about before.
That's true.
I'm just going around like, I remember cinnamon candies? They were like a real racist Chinese guy on the box selling them. And people are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, here's a question. And not to dig too deep into the race issue. But just because there's a Chinese character on a box of candy... Why would that be racist?
I think if a white dude makes up a guy named Charlie Chan.
Okay. Candy. If a white guy made it. Okay. No, I'm just saying,
I don't think this can in the family of already, like, not pun based, but clearly fictional characters, candies.
Uh-huh.
And then these are red because they're a communist China. I'm going to say that's why. But I I'm not looking it up. And we're not using our phones because of static for this episode. Thanks for the feedback, everybody.
Speaking of candy, I spent about 18% of my youth either thinking about or acquiring or enjoying Fireballs. That's all I cared about.
Oh, the single dose ones?
The little
I remember that was like
miniature
like
golf
you
ball.
Held that, yeah, like
that was my life. That's all I cared about.
Nuclear football. Like somebody's got a fireball. He's gonna eat it at lunch. We're all gonna watch.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it didn't do much.
No, I just loved the it was a jawbreaker. There was cinnamon and spicy
and good marketing by selling them individually. Like it made it such an event by selling them individually. I had a teacher in grade school. She would give out like. It was a gummy. It was a slightly larger than regular gummy bear.
Huh.
But it was individually wrapped. You individually wrap something, all of a sudden it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What's, like, especially candy.
Yeah.
You just created an idol for a child.
It's a delicacy at that point.
This is what, it's only, you only get one?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I only want to buy one piece of candy? Because it's the best piece of candy you've ever had. Hmm. Your dick's going to blow up.
Hmm.
Remember before your body created orgasms, what priorities were?
Oh yeah,
before you knew what that was.
It was
fireballs,
and then those bubblegum machine rubber bouncy balls. They put a quarter in the bubblegum machine and the golf ball size.
God bless and
rubber bouncy
any
ball
kid
that would
who would like sacrifice it to like watch this and just whip it.
Yeah, just watch that thing bounce.
That was one of my first ideas of wealth. Was like, kid was like, watch this. And we're just chucking. I'm like, what are you going to? You're not even going to get it back. You just pissed away a whole quarter.
Oh, man. That and a brand new, fresh out of the box baseball. Like, whenever you. Because that's all I did too. Was just play sports. Yeah, I know. I know you didn't play. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
I played catch with a baseball once. I got hit in the face.
Yeah, and then the other time you smacked it and hit a mentally challenged girl.
That was it was a softball.
But anytime somebody got the new, ooh, it's a fresh white new baseball. Yeah. I bet I could hit that thing a mile.
Do you remember? You know, like how smells are the most closely tied to memories.
Tell me about it.
I remember breakfast like it was yesterday. Is that a fart joke? I'm not sure. Let's start it early. This is the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave. Let's tell them now.
Yeah.
Let's tell them. Hey,
in case they were wondering,
listen up. I didn't need a sweater in here. I ain't a bitch. Put a sweater on for the learning act. Like it might be chilly. I think there's a drizzle in the air. Watch me throw this on the exercise.
Saw a guy the other day who jaywalked in front of me.
Yeah?
He had a sweater around his neck, and he had lensless glasses. I wanted to commit a hate crime.
We can understand immediately your feelings after that description. I'm saying on behalf of the listeners.
An adult male.
But do you think at any point, like I try to go like the punk rock route with it where it's like, when somebody knows they look when somebody knows it's just going to piss off somebody like you, like, and then you're only giving them the satisfaction. That's where I'm kind of like, you know what, man? You're going out going, I haven't gotten my ass kicked in a while. Watch this. And I'm kind of like, that's where I'm at with fashion right now. When I used to be really irritated with dumb shit, now I'm like, man, you know what? Make a statement.
I wish I was.
You got one stretch at this life.
I wish I was that zen.
You got one stretch of highway till it's all over.
I just drive around angry all day, especially in Los Angeles. Like, look at that. Look at that guy.
Yeah, I can see this place being rough.
Ugh. These goobers. There. Speaking of which.
People like that phrase.
Speaking of which.
You want to start a food truck, you call it Speaking of Which.
Battery died in the van the other day.
Well, It's like you're... That's basically, for the rest of us, it's like a blackout.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the power went off in my house.
What happens? Did all the stuff in your fridge go bad? Then you have to reset your microwave clock?
I was here in Silver Lake, and for our listeners not familiar with the Los Angeles terrain, Silver Lake kind of has a reputation for...
If you want another fireball, you...
Sure. Being a bit of a hipster...
A bit.
Frou-frou neighborhood. Anyway, woke up at noon, and... Now, I woke up earlier, but I didn't crank up the van till noon.
Yeah.
And for some, I think I left a dome light on or something, and the battery was dead. And I had my cables, and I parked kind of on a busy road.
What, did you pass out doing something?
No. No, just, you know, normal.
Like, it's not like
normal,
like,
behavior
in the van.
Yeah. But no, something I you know
I'm
what it was.
To blame the victim.
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Something happened, but. So I'm about 100 feet from a 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. So I grab my jumper cables and I walk up to the 7-Eleven. In the course of about 10 minutes, I approach five different adult males. Yeah. Intentionally did not approach females because I'm aware. I know what I look like.
Age range on these fellows?
Between 20 and 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Capable age.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Five different adult males told me no.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. One guy just didn't even verbalize it. He just shook his head as if he was a toddler who had got a hold of some sour baby food.
Which 7-Eleven was this?
It's the one Hyperion and Rowena, or where Glendale turns into Rowena. Hyperion.
Oh, next to my laundromat there.
Yeah. Not far from the Trader Joe's. And
were you... I mean, only to just speak to the other side.
0 for 5.
LA's got a lot of sketchos. Mm-hmm. Were you by? Could you see the van?
You could. You could see
the
van.
Did you have the hood open on the van?
Yes, I did.
Was it on the street?
Yeah, it was right on Rowena.
So you'd have to park opposite traffic.
Yeah, but they didn't know that at the time. And I'm holding cables.
In my own head, I'm like, I'm trying to justify if I would have said no or yes.
It was no
stranger coming up just holding jumper cables, because then that even looks tricky, because you're like, he's selling it too hard. I know in your heart you meant the right thing.
I get
but
that.
This is a land of skeptics, buddy.
I get that from a female's point of view.
Yeah.
And that's why I intentionally did not approach a female.
This is LA, so all the men have a female's point of view also.
Exactly. That's my point.
There's no down home goodness in this town.
You know what it was? It was a combination of. I'm not going to help a fellow human being. And B, I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm afraid I might get my hands dirty. Like,
you think that was it?
I was, yeah, because these dudes, just be a fucking dude. Sometimes you gotta be a fucking dude, Kyle. And these dudes weren't.
I try to be.
These dudes weren't fucking dudes. Sorry.
They just
omitted this air of, ugh, yuck, get away from me. Go fuck yourself. Thanks. Thank you, fellow human being.
It's a weird town where the first reaction is, ugh, this is probably a scam. Which is unfortunate.
But I know how to talk to people.
That's unfortunate.
I do. I know how to talk to people. I conducted myself in a very professional manner. Very non-threatening.
Right now, I'm just
non-scammy.
It's just you in cargo shorts yelling at people that aren't around you. Be a fucking man! Just yelling at the parking lot of a 7-Eleven.
Granted,
which is only second to the guy yelling, why aren't there any fucking women around here? Yelling that at the other end of the parking lot.
Granted, both my van and my barbecue tattoos were exposed.
There's, you know what? It's sad that there's so many sketchy people in this town that it undermines the effort to be a decent person first.
You know what the difference is, though? And I get
That's not an excuse, but I'm trying to stick up for humanity in the sense that people are more defensive than they are just outwardly willing to help.
I agree, because I'm on the other end of that as far as being leery of sketchy folks.
Yeah.
But I was articulate. I was friendly. I looked them in the eye.
They probably thought you were on meth.
They didn't know I lived in that van.
That you abandon a man in his home.
Mm-hmm.
I did that once, and I don't regret it, but it was like I saw a guy like trying to crawl himself on a side. Like, it just looked like a bad situation. Like, all right, man, how can I help you? He's like, oh, I'm like you look like you fell and you need to get up. And the dude was just, I don't know how he got shit all over that much of his body.
Ugh.
And then I committed to like trying to help this dude up. And I was like, at one point, like, oh, man, I want to be a kind person. But then your own well-being.
Yeah.
Like I know you're a dude from Atlanta and you're a generous soul. In L.A., you might be missed, like, tattoos and a guy like, oh, my van's broken down.
No, I was much more that's eloquently spoken than that.
What did you say?
I didn't just grunt, oh, my van. No, just, hey, man, sorry to bother you. My van, I really could use a jump.
It's not even so much that, but it's like.
You open with an apology. You open with, hey, sorry to inconvenience you, but you know.
You know what it is? You look like a dude whose van shouldn't have broken down.
There you go.
That's why it's skeptical. Lady, if the guy you asked, it was his car, somebody would help him. Because I don't know, and he'd be like fumbling with the jumper cables. They'd be twined around him.
Mm.
But you look like a dude who should know how to start a van. And that's why people are like, this is a fucking scam. And everybody's seen Silence of the Lambs.
You can't control the battery. I can't just...
That doesn't equate to...
That's not a skill set of like, oh, I can jump this battery without another battery.
They don't know that. And
of course they don't. So shout out to our good buddy Billy Wayne Davis, Southern gentleman.
BWD.
I texted Billy. I said, hey, are you at home? You know what he said? Yeah, what do you need?
I live down the street.
I can't count on you.
What kind of?
I'm kidding. No, you were out of town. You were gone. You were gone. I would have totally contacted you, but you were gone.
You can count on me to answer.
Billy didn't bat an eye. Yeah, man. What do you need? No. I said, sorry to bother you. I need a jump. He goes, where you at? I'll be there in 5 minutes. That's a Southern gentleman. I don't want to be biased.
Bullshit, dude.
Too biased. But dudes from the South. Billy's a good Southern dude. I'm a good Southern dude. Hey, man, what you need? Be there in 5 minutes. You're my buddy. We're going to solve this problem. And that's what he did.
I'm trying to start a white supremacist organization. I'm there. Which forest preserve are you burning the cross in?
But I'm going to try to get too... too self-righteous
drink
about it.
Shot with
oh, I didn't even know you did that.
I poured some more of these.
But there's a lot to be said. Hold on. You got to have a bit of get shit done in you.
I get it.
And I like to be that for my friends. I like to think that my friends, you want to be able to count on
your
friends.
You're the most get shit done dude I know.
I get shit done. You need something, I'm there. You know,
GSD,
I get shit done. So I was in a position where I was vulnerable. Like I said, I can't just snap my fingers and jumpstart my own damn battery. And Billy was like,
"Time that you say I was vulnerable? That is a fucking. That's the most supernatural sighting we can document on this whole fucking thing we've ever done for almost a year. Is the one time Dave Kidney Stone said I was vulnerable."
I was. I was in a pickle.
I think I just saw a ghost.
I was in a pickle, and old B-Dubs had my back, so shout out to B-Dubs. Man.
Former comic of the week.
Yep. Live at Third Man Records. Go buy his damn album. I'm going to buy 10 albums just to pay him back.
Effort.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm sorry that happened that way. I'm sorry that people in Los Angeles let you down. You know there's good ones out there somewhere.
Of course there's good ones, but man, just your typical Silver Lake dipshit.
That's me.
Frou-frou fuckface.
That's me.
Yeah, I'll get my hands dirty. No, you get your hands. You're a dude.
I wish I was more of a dude.
You're plenty of a dude. You're fine.
I get in there, but I fuck it up. I get in there, but I don't have the knowledge. I'm like, I'll get in there, but I will not be of use.
It's the effort. All we're asking is the effort.
And the effort can ruin things.
Yeah.
I almost flipped my first apartment when I moved out here, not realizing that apartments, you call somebody else to fix stuff. I live with Bronger. And the faucet was leaking in the kitchen. I'm like, I got this. Should know how to do stuff. You're a guy.
Did you wrap it in saran wrap?
I had no fucking idea that the water would flow directly out of the handle of the faucet.
Hmm.
It was the two knobs. I'm making a gesture that people can't see, but then the spigot out of the front.
Mm-hmm.
But two knobs separate from the
They spout. Came out of the knobs?
I undid the knob. Didn't realize you had to turn the water off first.
Yeah, you had an O-ring problem.
Well, I had a lot of problems because as soon as I, like, I'm unscrewing it and Bronger's looking at me like, why are you even doing this? I'm like, don't worry, I got it. I'm the fucking dude here. And then there's water starting to spurt out, clearly under pressure. Clearly, from under the knob, squirting out. I'm like, it's residual. Like,
it's residual.
It doesn't even mean anything.
Like a hose after you turn it off.
Like that word sounds like if I said the right word, it would make the problem go away.
It's just tertiary water.
Yeah, that's it. It's a leftover thing. And then I get one screw, like one half screw away, and it unscrews itself under the pressure. The fucking knob pops off, and the water's just slamming against the roof. The ceiling of the kitchen, and I'm trying to get the knob back on as calm as possible. Bronger's looking at me like, what the fuck? I'm like, go downstairs. The building manager lived below us.
Like an Allstate commercial.
And he found out soon because his kitchen started flooding. I'm like, go get Don. Go talk to Don real quick. Just I'm trying to be so calm. Just get Don. Go. Why don't you go get Don? Go get Don downstairs. And the building manager came up, and by that time I got the knob back on, but it fucking soaked. Like, it was what happened in sitcoms.
Yeah, that was a very sitcom moment.
And it wasn't funny at the moment. I'm going to do a dude thing, and I beefed it. I beefed it so hard.
Oh, well, you tried.
That's how much, okay, let's tie that into what, like, just our efforts.
Mm-hmm.
How much of, like, just trying to, like, trying to find UFOs and Bigfoot is just like the ultimate mansplaining.
What do you mean?
I may have had some Fireball whiskey.
That's fine.
But, like, how much of it comes from a guy not being able to be functional in the rest of the world? Be like, I'll show you what's real.
Okay.
I'll show you what's what.
Uh-huh. That's the ultimate I'll show you.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
Yeah.
I found Bigfoot.
Like, in the rest of the world, you're just not functioning well. You're not good at your job. You're not the best machinist. You're not the best physical therapist, whatever you might have. Well, and then all it is effort.
Mm-hmm.
The best you could do is effort. I think it's like camping in any way. Like, you got the gear and you got the stuff. It, like, the preparation is exciting. It's like going fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, getting a fish is nice, but having the gear, getting out on the boat with your buddies, that's the same thing as sitting out with your e-readers in a haunted house or looking for Bigfoot in the woods or hoping a UFO passes over after you found the right location and the coordinates.
Same could be said for cooking. Oftentimes, when I'm doing like a big smoke,
mm-hmm.
when I'm smoking a pork shoulder for 12 hours, sometimes I don't even eat that much of it. It's just the act of doing it. That I enjoy. I mean, of course I enjoy – who are we kidding? Of course I enjoy the food, the finished product. But I've found myself spending 12 hours smoking a pork shoulder and then eating for five minutes.
I watched you at a campsite just sitting like, all right, we're camping. It's in the smoker. What are we doing now? And you're like, no, nope, just sitting here.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that most conspiracy theories and stuff like this is supported by men? Conspiracy theories more. Maybe supernatural stuff. I feel like maybe a female mindset and openness is more prevalent to like a ghost or spiritual type thing. I think they're more emotionally sensitive.
I think you're right.
But dudes want to walk in the woods, find Bigfoot or aliens.
Dudes, and I'm probably guilty of this, there's a certain appeal to discovering something or learning something that nobody else knows. Hey, guess what? I got the real scoop.
That's why every guy thinks they have the best sex move.
Every two-bit tough guy thinks they make great chili.
Two-bit tough guy
thinks
they make great chili.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put that on a shirt.
Mow that box. I got the move. Other dudes of that. That's a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. Was there a knuckle involved?
that, best sitcom lines ever. Because there are just the idea of a knuckle being involved with cunnilingus is so fucking preposterous. That's comedy writing at its best.
When George is down there doing the thing, and she goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Pleasuring you."
Feels like aliens are probing my body.
Okay, I'll just go back to my normal routine. Oh, speaking of chili,
those pictures of that chili. This comes out next weekend.
Doesn't matter.
And when I say next weekend, it could be any fucking Tuesday, which isn't a weekend.
Yeah.
Ooh, we got into the whiskey. We haven't had a drunk episode in a while.
You got a 6 a.m. flight.
How about the static comes from our fucking faces this time? Complain about that.
Oh, dude, I got into it this weekend.
Well, yeah, did you just make a sexual hand gesture?
No. Made some chili.
Oh, now it all sounds like fucking... Now that we said it, everybody here trying to not think of Dave fucking, and then the next day, just lurking in a 7-Eleven parking lot with jumper cables. No car anywhere to be seen.
Chili in my beard. Oh, God.
Put a little cheese on that onion.
Oh, man. Dude.
Yeah, dude.
Made some good chili this weekend.
Oh, God. Oh,
it was so good. And I won't talk about the chili again, even though we've already talked about that.
Go to the Instagram. I was looking at it going, I wonder if I thought it, maybe I was going to get some texts. The last time you sent me text, you're like, peaches, like you just tell me ingredient like randomly. I'm like, coffee, peaches, anchovies. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Like, you had thumb Tourette's.
Dave, have you been kidnapped? You think I've tried to do the thing again?
You never told me a safe word, so you can't just give me all of these. Yeah. I'm just trying to get Yahoo to do ads. Strictly for canned peaches to me.
All right, so I made the chili Saturday night. You know what I did Sunday morning? I pulled this out of my ass.
That's the chili.
I invented what I call cornbread Benedict.
Still thinking about six.
Cover the old cornbread Benedict. Fried cornbread, pimento cheese on top of that. Sunny side egg on top of that. A nice little douse of chili on top of that. Cornbread Benedict. Boom.
That does.
I'm going to be a millionaire.
That picture was outstanding.
It was good. It was good. It was just off the cuff. Just, I said, what am I going to do for breakfast?
Because the big key of a chef is being able to improvise.
That's right.
Would you ever do like a cooking show?
Yeah.
Do you think you could jump in there like...
Like an actual cooking show?
Like, all right.
Or like a food restaurant.
Or like Chopped or something.
I could do that shit, yeah. Here's my problem with Chopped. I hate that show. All right, here's the problem.
Well, I guess you're not doing Chopped now.
Yeah, fuck Chopped.
Start a good anti-campaign.
Here's a basket with a baguette and some orange marmalade.
Nobody ever serves the food in the basket.
And some dog food. Like, I want a chef to make what he makes or she makes the best.
But that's...
Whatever you're good at, you do that. I don't need this desert island ration bullshit, you know?
But that's what I'm saying, is that that show, it's all about... Like, you're getting mad at me for watching Little Women Atlanta. Oh, but it's like you're thinking somebody actually likes it. No, you're watching it for the spectacle. Nobody's watching like this is good television. Nobody's watching Chop like, oh, I wish they would make that in a restaurant I'd go to. Like, I want to see what a chef like yourself would do with. All right, think on your toes right now. I'm going to tell you your basket ingredients. How many? Four?
I think it's four.
Okay. Right now, Fireball candies. Trix cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Swiss chard. I don't know what that is. I just heard him say it on the
show. It's a leafy green.
Okay. Change out tricks.
I don't care. I don't
care.
Well,
that's not going to get you on Dave. I'm trying to I'm pitching you the show right now.
I don't care.
This episode will go viral. Be like, did you hear about this fucking... this jamoke that harasses people in a Sutherland parking lot? What do you do with fireball candies and Swiss chard? It's blowing minds. Johnny Tapenade shit his pants when he heard about it. He's a judge, right? He's a judge, Johnny Tapenade.
That's my point. Like, I just cooking is about. I get the skill set of like, you got to improvise, but like, no. When you go to a restaurant, I want to order something I want to eat, not like, hey, what are the four most obscure things you got in the bottom of your freezer?
I'm watching TV. That's why I'm not at a restaurant, because I don't want to deal with that.
It's all garbage.
I want to watch. I'm going to order a pizza where somebody's just going to fuck it into the oven, but I want to watch these geniuses come up with something.
Ugh.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
We're trying to podcast?
We're trying to do a podcast. How was
stuff off on your list.
How was Portland?
Oh, I got back from Portland Sunday. Always the best place in the world.
Mm-hmm. I like Portland.
And honestly, this is going to come out. I couldn't say it before. I'm going to be back there for Bridgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
There you go. Work it out.
I've been full of sounds. Nobody needs to hear it reinforced. If you watch the show Portlandia, all that stuff is very on point.
Is that show still on?
I don't know.
Okay.
But the stuff I've seen from the show, it's very funny and on point about what it's like. And it is. It's a hipster metropolis. Mm-hmm. And now weed's legal, too. And everybody's got a craft brewery. And I made the joke about it. It's a town made out of hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's hobby, they do it really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where you would go to find a mechanic unless it's for a 1972 Moto Guzzi Ambassador. Like, I don't know about, like, oh, no, I have a 2006 Corolla. That, you're shit out of luck. You're shit out of luck. But if you have an Alfa Romeo from 1963, or just... some sort of steam-powered bicycle that you created yourself. Then there's six guys with hand-printed business cards tacked to a light pole in front of a music venue. But I didn't get as much food as I should have. But I've been trying. Like, on the road's the hardest thing to control, so I kind of just hibernate and take it easy on myself food-wise. The shows were fantastic. Sold out weekend. Thank you to everybody that came to the show.
Every show sold out?
Every show. Added a show. Added an early show Saturday.
Really?
5 p.m. So
that's great.
That one didn't sell out. But everybody that came to a comedy show at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
On a Saturday. Not like it was hard to alley-oop from your craft brunch. But it was great.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah, man.
That's fun, man.
And so many gifts. Everybody that gave me gifts.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff.
I don't know. Jared Taffer. I forgot his name.
Who gave us the socks?
That was just, I didn't go out after one of the shows and somebody came in like, oh, somebody left you these socks. Oh. Sock It To Me is the company.
Nice.
And I think they work for the company. So Sock It To Me.
Somebody gave you a flask?
Somebody, I got to get his name up. God damn it.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No. I'll find it. I forgot.
While you're doing that, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Kyle McNulty and John Brown.
More comics.
They sent us some more comics. They do the Boogie Monster comics, completely unsolicited. We didn't commission that or ask for it, but really cool. They just do like these little 2 or 3 page. Kyle and Dave get into some weird shit comics, and they sent another one last week, and it's up on the Facebook, the Boogie Monster Facebook page.
I my computer doesn't work in the annex.
That's okay.
I like that we're secluded. This is like a bunker.
It is secluded.
There's no internet access.
It's very, very much like a bunker.
Except for there's just an exercise bike and an electronic drum set.
Yeah.
Nothing to survive. But yeah, Portland was fucking awesome. Somebody gave me a cheesecake?
Just gave you a cheesecake?
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I didn't realize there was a Portland-style cheesecake. It tasted a lot like New York-style cheesecake, which means it was good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so like the cheesecake and then the whole green room, like we're just sat with forks.
Nice.
Mowing down this cheesecake.
Did you go out and get any meals? Going to any restaurants?
Pine State Biscuits.
How's that? I have not been.
Oh, man. Reggie Deluxe. It's just chicken and bit. It's a fried chicken breast.
Okay.
Biscuit with gravy and bacon.
I had...
It's just every component, which you attest to, put love into every single piece of it.
Nice.
And my dad was in town, so I'm like, I don't know a lot of restaurants, but this one I got to go to. And it was just both, just a couple of canines.
So your pops was just
bumbling through gravy.
Just happened to be in town.
Yeah, he was doing his job up there.
What a well, that's cool, man.
You know, got to hang out with the old
father and son, both working in Portland.
Yeah,
the same time.
Want to go get chicken and biscuits? Yeah, betcha.
Way to go!
All right,
way to go. I had the Denver version of that last weekend. I went to Denver Biscuit Company.
Yeah.
Which I've had people tell me, like, oh, man, it's right there. It's right there on par with Pine State in Portland. And I have not been to Pine State, but solid. Ate there two mornings in a row.
This has come from you, yeah, who has a biscuit recipe on a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. This is a classic recipe, and I've had your biscuits, and they're number one, buddy. Nothing's knocking them out of that slot.
It wasn't as good as my biscuit.
But no, I'm not saying that either about Pine State.
It was good. For a commercial biscuit, it's pretty good.
If Denver Biscuit Company is like, Dave, come here and be our biscuit guy. Be our biscuit.
Be the biscuit chairman.
Yeah,
consultant.
Good. I was trying to think of a more royal based name.
Oh, okay.
You know, our biscuit duke.
Uh huh. The Duke of Biscuit.
Yeah. Our biscuit emperor.
Yeah.
Would you just quit everything and just be just the fucking Zen master of biscuits?
No, I'm not working for... I'm not. If I'm going to be the biscuit Zen master, I'm going to be my own boss. I'm not going to work for somebody else.
All right. Yeah. Just I'm putting it out there.
Although they could use... Here's the problem.
Now the recipe's in the public, dude.
It's true.
You can put a trademark on that
shit. Yeah, we haven't mentioned that. I'll go ahead and throw that out there. Got new merch. I put my biscuit recipe that so many Boogie Monster listeners have requested, I put it on a damn T-shirt. And if anybody would like one, just holler at me, and we'll work it out.
The most simple version of the movie National Treasure that could possibly exist. No, there's a secret code out there. It's on the shirt. Oh. We got to wash in the spec. No, it's right there. It's just right there. You just got to hold somebody down long enough to read it.
But yeah, just one of those dumb ideas that panned out in my favor. I was like,
that's everything we've done in life.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no, not every one of my ideas has worked out.
What idea hasn't worked out, Dave?
I don't know.
You wanted to live in a van and you did it?
Wanted to live in a van. Although, if you'd have told 10-year-old Dave that one day he'd be living in a van, he'd have been like, cool.
I've been shopping at Sportsmobiles. They're the fancy versions of vans.
Is that the Instagram page you told me about?
Yeah. Every time I get frustrated with everything, I'm like, I could just tour. I could just be infinitely touring.
Yeah.
But I'd lose my fucking mind. Trying to do imagine doing comedy every night, every night.
Yeah, every night.
Not just a tour, every night.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
I'm not that interested. I don't want to hear myself.
No.
But I'll hear myself talk about this week's topic.
Should we get into it?
We fucking rambled for a
did minute. We? Where are we at?
35 minutes.
Yeah, well.
This is how two-parters start.
Oh, yeah?
Well, let's see how interested we are in this topic. We should be interested.
Yeah.
A lot of people wrote to us about this.
That's true. Guy sent us a book about this.
Yeah.
And I've yet to read it. Yeah, man.
I wonder if I don't know if I said that close enough with the whisper.
Do it again. Do it again.
Skinwalkers.
That's pretty
good. I can't look at the monitor. Skinwalkers.
Dude.
Oh,
you know what this
is? Is you don't realize the other one hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah,
you need to do the next one. cheers. What do you got?
You're home. I'm not.
Yes, you are. It's never an excuse.
I don't like that your street.
We're going to do a vanless episode.
Your street is not conducive. It's
in front of the night. It is.
It's too busy.
Stay here.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm gonna leave early anyway.
Skinwalkers, Kyle.
right.
You know what's cool about
people wrote in about this.
It is all right. Specifically, the Skinwalker Ranch. Mm-hmm. It is kind of the. It's really like a paranormal buffet.
I can't not think about like an eating disorder version of the Bunny Ranch. Whenever I've heard Skinwalker Ranch, I just think about real anorexic prostitutes.
That's funny.
Is it? Because you're not laughing. You just said that's funny.
It's funny. I was afraid to laugh. So I verbally.
And you will be too when we tell you about Skinwalker Ranch.
Should we go ahead and get rid of this?
Yeah, let's get rid of this stuff.
All right.
Take a hike.
All right.
This is.
You know what a skinwalker is, Kyle? It does sound like a euphemism.
It sounds like you put your fingers, like, you know, like.
Okay.
Two little fingers, but you put them over your dick.
All right.
And you walk your boner across the counter.
Oh, boy. I shouldn't have asked that question.
I mean, we're riffing. We're riffing.
All right. All right.
I scared the shit out of myself reading about it in bed last night.
Yeah. This is some of the creepiest subject matter we've broached.
This, because it came so matter, like the stories were written so matter, for the ones I was reading, so matter of factly.
Mm-hmm.
So like nonchalant. It wasn't written by someone who writes thriller now the story. Oh yeah. No, I was visiting my friend on the reservation. It's a Navajo
mm-hmm.
tradition. From what I read,
Navajo and also the Utes,
yeah,
which is another tribe around Utah,
young tribe,
yeah.
Joe Pesci's the leader.
Utes, the Utes.
Come on, that if nobody's ever made that joke,
that's
the
good.
World doesn't understand comedy. That's I'm a good. Hack.
The Utes, to what? What'd you say? The Utes.
Honestly,
what a great movie.
Where that court case took place, they could have just totally blamed it on two Native American kids.
You know who stole that scene? That court scene was his attorney, or no, the other attorney who had the speech impediment.
I'm trying to remember the scene. Now.
It was just the other attorney. He had a speech impediment, but he just mowed through it. It didn't slow him down. It was so funny.
Of all the disabilities that nowadays could never pass, but man,
yeah.
If you want to watch a movie where you can laugh at every disability, Deuce Bigelow.
Oh God. What a piece of garbage.
I laughed real hard. If anything, for Eddie Griffin just dropping ice cream in a hot tub and then still eating it. But
anyway.
We digress.
Skinwalkers, for those who aren't familiar with the term, based in Navajo and Ute culture, Skinwalker is a witch that has the ability to transform into an animal mm-hmm. for the purpose of doing harm.
Yeah.
How creepy is that?
And this, it was always like the stories that I was reading. It was a lot of just driving like, oh, there's a coyote or something. Except when it starts to run, it gets up on its hind legs and jumps fences in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So just. And it always like when any kind of ghost story or something, it doesn't talk like it was a stormy night. When it's just very matter of fact.
That's creepy.
What the fuck?
Listeners couldn't hear that, but some crazy stuff just happened outside of the window of the Learning Annex.
I mean, it could be like a bug running into the window.
Interesting timing. Anyway.
But that was part of the whole Skinwalker thing, though?
Mm-hmm.
Was them, it would be like a progression. It would be, the one story I read was, somebody saw, you know, like I said, in Navajo culture, you have dogs, but you don't let the dogs inside the house. The dogs are the protectors,
mm-hmm.
so they stay outside of the house.
Yeah.
And there's one, like, on a shed looking in the house. It was real brazen. It was the side of like a large dog, real brazen, just staring at people. So they scare it off. And then they hear howling outside. And then it would just progress to these. I got real creeped out.
That was weird.
I got legit creeped out.
That was weird.
I got legit creeped out by that sound. And then they would all of a sudden like, oh, it's now like, oh, wait, we hear a noise, and they look and it's at, like, they could see it at the door, like using, like with its paws on the handle.
Uh-huh.
And then sitting inside, and it's, and they were saying like its face is pressed against the glass,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It doesn't have, it has a mixed features of dog and person.
Yes.
And the way I was reading, it wasn't written by somebody who's written a ghost story, which maybe that's why.
Didn't have the typical cliches. Maybe that's
why adult authors are so good. Like, you don't write something like it's a story. You deliver it in such a nonchalant manner that the emotions are the strongest part of it. And the delivery method is like, oh, I'm just one of you talking about what life's like.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody went that far to deep troll skinwalker stories with a believable, like, oof, good job.
Well, there's so many of those stories out there. It's, oh man, it's really intense. I've heard a lot of these stories, and one of the common characteristics is kind of what you just touched on, where it's like people will see, for example, one story I read is somebody saw a moose. Yeah. They were out in this field, and they saw a moose. But the moose wasn't moving and behaving like a moose would move and behave. And as it got closer...
It didn't have a little squirrel friend with it.
What's that?
It didn't have a little squirrel friend.
Every moose
has a small squirrel friend.
It took me a second to get that one.
Nobody listening to this will get it.
Moose is a fairly common one. Wolf... It's a fairly common
wolf,
one.
Yeah.
Wolf is more common. But point being that these skinwalkers, they disguise themselves and present themselves like a wolf or a moose or whatever, but something just a little off about it. They're moving and behaving just a little different than a wolf or a moose or whatever would move.
Everything I got, like when it would run away, it would be on two legs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I read. And it was these sort of like, oh, no, my dad works for the, you know, the road service, and we have to maintain things. And it was always, yeah, it was like, you know, Utah or Wyoming. And it was, oh, so we kind of came up on it and looked a little startled, but then the way it ran off was on its back legs, and it jumped over a fence that way.
And the reason why this is kind of shrouded in secrecy is that the Utes and the Navajos – They don't discuss this to outside with outsiders. Yeah. They you know it's discussed amongst themselves, but they won't talk to, you know, non Navajos or non Utes or whomever about this type of stuff. And it kind of started getting in the public zeitgeist, if you will, around 96. Let's shift over to the Skinwalker Ranch. All right. A little bit southeast of Ballard, Utah, it's a place called the Sherman Ranch, a.k.a. the Skinwalker Ranch. It's a 480-acre ranch that's supposedly the site of just numerous paranormal activities. We're talking UFOs, Bigfoot sightings.
Even Bigfoot?
All kind of crazy stuff has been happening. Right in this, I mean, 480 acres is a huge ranch, but in the scale, in the scheme of an entire region or state, it's pretty consolidated piece of land there. But in right in this little area, for years now, locals have been reporting all kind of crazy UFO stuff, just all kind of like I said, that's what I was alluding to when I said it's like a buffet. Usually what we'll talk about with this type of stuff, it's one specific thing. But like with the Skinwalker Ranch, you got these skinwalkers that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You got UFOs, you got Bigfoot sightings, all kinds of crazy stuff. And George Knapp, who is a journalist and was a former host of Coast to Coast, in 96, he started writing some newspaper articles about this.
Yeah.
And it started getting more and more attention.
What was it? It was like a Las Vegas newspaper?
Yeah, it was like a Las Vegas, and then also I think something out of Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So a couple of different ones kind of in that general area. And so people started snooping around and investigating what's going on with this ranch. Now, I don't know who owned it originally, But in 94, this guy, I think his name was Steve, is it Gorman? Steve Gorman and his family, they bought this ranch in 94 and immediately started experiencing all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
They started seeing these skinwalkers, seeing crazy orbs, seeing what they thought were UFOs. And more specifically, within the first week of them moving in, the Gorman family moved into this ranch in 94. One of the first things they noticed, there was a house, obviously, in the ranch, on the ranch. The house was just heavily fortified with these thick industrial bolts and locks. Every door, every window had these crazy bolts and locks on it. Also, next to both entrances, I guess there was a front door and a back door, there were these giant steel poles in the ground with these heavy chains attached to it that looked like where you would chain up a guard dog. So they had all these locks and bolts. They had these guard dog poles. So they're like, what the hell's going on? So anyway,
owned it before?
I don't know. I never caught that. But in this first week when they're moving in, so Gorman's there, he's moving his family in. I think his dad didn't live with him, but his dad was helping him move in. So they're moving in. So in the first few days, and they see this giant wolf kind of off into the distance, right? And the wolf is walking towards them. But it's walking in kind of a gentle manner, like it wasn't rushing them, and they were all, you know, it was kind of slowly, and they were like, what's
some
going?
Some nature out there.
Yeah. And, but during its approach, they had some cattle penned up. This wolf goes over and just starts attacking this little young calf.
Yeah.
Like grabs it by the snout, just shaking it and everything. Yeah. So Steve and his pops go over. They start beating this wolf over the head with a bunch of sticks. Doesn't phase it. Steve runs back into the house, grabs his .357 Magnum, point blank range, pops four shots, puts four rounds down range into this fucking wolf. Doesn't phase it. .357 Magnum is a powerful handgun. Four shots from a .357, doesn't phase it, runs back into the house, gets a hunting rifle, pops three or four more rounds with a hunting rifle. Finally, the wolf just kind of casually walks off.
Sounds like a long time to fight off a wolf.
That's true. No reaction from the wolf, no blood. Wanders off. They follow his tracks. It had been raining. It's muddy everywhere. They follow these mud tracks for about 100 yards, and then they say...
Goes right back to a nice condo.
Then they say the tracks just stopped, just disappeared, as if the wolf just floated off into midair. So that was their first encounter. That was their first encounter with these crew, what they thought was later determined, well, that might be one of those skinwalkers people are talking about.
Yeah.
So... they live in this place for just a couple of years, and then I think in 2000, that'd be a little more than a couple, our boy that we were talking about earlier,
Robert Bigelow.
Bigelow buys the place.
Now you, Bigelow of Bigelow Aerospace. This guy's from what I can gather, self-made millionaire, if not probably billionaire, from the budget motel chain. Just bought up, was a real estate dude. But from an early age, thought he was going to be like, he's like, I'm space is my thing. Like, I'm going to get there, and I'm going to get there through making money. I guess he wasn't like so much a science guy, but he's like, I'm going to be involved with aerospace technologies and all this stuff. So like, he's like, I'm going to get there one way or another, and busted his ass in the real estate game and bought this property. And presumably, for like, I don't know. Is it because there's so much UFO activity there, and that's what he's interested in? He founded NIDS, National Institute for NISD, National Institute for SMD, National Institute for Sucking My Dick. There's a National Institute for that now. It's federally funded. And National Institute National Institute for Sucking My Dick. I can't get it out of my head. God damn it, I gotta go to the computer. Fill the air, Dave.
All right.
You know what? Don't do it the way.
Black guy, a Mexican, and a Jew walking through a bar. No? All
right. No, I got it. I got it. No, I found it.
Okay.
The radio host that has a horribly racist co-host. He's like, oh, shit. Why did you fill this one for like...
What do you call a lady on her...
Seen two Pollocks and a Burger King? Oh, Jesus Christ. Go to commercial. Why? Does he not have anything else to say? Is there never anything else to talk about?
Just a constant flow.
He has nothing. There's no other thoughts. It's always just racist street jokes.
Oh, that's funny.
That's like his own mom dies and like you want to say something. Thanks for being here. I'm just, you know, she's a love. Two mix and a dago are on a bus. NIDS, National Institute for Discovery Science.
Uh-huh.
National Institute for Scientific Discovery, better name, but it's not my group. He founded it 95 to 2004. But just into for fringe science. But a lot of UFO stuff. Not even so much Skinwalker, a lot of UFO stuff. But so, also, this is the organization that said if you see a triangular-shaped UFO, it's a military blimp. Mm-hmm. That's what I read, but it definitely... a military experimental craft. If you see a triangle-shaped UFO, which there was some earlier this year in 2017, in southeast Wisconsin.
Really?
Which is Milwaukee, mm-hmm. which is filled with drunks.
Hmm.
So, oh, God, Milwaukee saw something triangle-shaped. It's cheese. did you see the way I held my hand up like it was a fucking funny joke I was telling to a friend, but not everybody? Hey, Dave, this one's just for you. Oh, I can't believe people in Wisconsin saw a triangle shape that they didn't recognize. You fucking Pollocks. It's not racist because they're white too. you fucking Line and Kugel filled... fucking Pollocks.
That's a funny character. He's racist guy who's so racist, but yet he's aware that in 2017 he can't. So he's just pounding the Pollock joke.
White on white crime.
So why did
that one, the meatless sandwich?
Why did Bigelow buy this place? Whoa, I just made a connection out of nowhere. You talked about Deuce Bigelow, and now this guy's name is Bigelow. Whoa.
Is that the end of your thought?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
That's crazy, dude.
That was a connection.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Two things were named Bigelow.
When's the last time you said Bigelow outside of the context of that terrible movie?
Good call.
Mm-hmm. There's something. There's something probably behind that.
Deuce Bigelow 2, European Gigolo.
Oh, God.
Oh, are there fat ladies in Europe? You bet there are, Rob Schneider.
Hey, look, the Eiffel Tower's my wiener.
Honestly, probably got cut from the writer's room for being too intellectual. But I don't know why he acquired it.
I think he acquired it because I think he's one of these rich dudes who's like, hey, I'm kind of into this paranormal stuff. So this place... is known for that type of stuff, so I'm going to buy this place.
Okay, we're talking right now. Why are rich dudes... like, is it because you can be so wealthy that anything else... that like, actual terrestrial problems don't concern you anymore?
I think that's part of it.
So now you have so much money, like... but we have a president who's out of his fucking mind, who is not connected to the real world at all. Like, mm-hmm. like, and this isn't even a, man, Trump sucks or Trump's bad for America. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so rich and has been in his whole life, he doesn't even know what real world problems are. So that's why, I mean, you want to talk about, what, are we going to be dead because North Korea is going to nuke us if they get, if they can develop it? Fortunately, maybe for once, America's complete ridiculous spending on defense, let's hope to fucking God it's funded some sort of infiltration team that is off the coast just making every missile test fail. Not even having to have an opposing missile shoot it down. What a great idea of defense is having the technology to just make a missile fail. Because then it just seems like it's their fault. Instead of having an anti-missile missile, whichever one the fuck those are, which we had through the 80s. No, we have missiles. The only nukes that we have are the nukes that shoot down the other nukes. And everybody's fucking jerking your dick at each other fest. That is just an arms race anyway. What a great subversive way to squelch an international conflict is to technologically just make them think that their things are failing. Oh, we got a giant missile. It's going to reach it. Watch us test it. And it fails.
And they lose confidence. And they don't, and they don't want to fight.
Or just keep them in the development stages. Without anybody like that's probably spy work. God, I'm sorry, but the Boogie Monster podcast just blew the fucking roof off of international spy relations.
We got it all figured out.
But you have a lunatic on that side. You have a lunatic on this side. How do we fucking keep things at ease? Again, you want to go back to just like who's really in charge of things in shadow government? Who had the best? Right after, I can't remember, I can't credit who gave the best quote to about after Trump got elected, like, thank God there's a shadow government really running things. But thank God there's a shadow government really just, like, no, there's no way Trump's in charge of the fucking, they give him a fake, you know what they did? They gave him one of those Home Depot buttons, wherever the fuck it was, Office Depot, it gets easy, whatever it is, and they just shaved off the letters, and here, no, this is the button. It's the big red one. You can carry it with you. And then they're not. He's not in charge of it. There's definitely somebody else. Let him fuck it up. That's the whole thing. Nobody wants to take credit for it. It's not machismo. North Korea, you want to launch a missile? Oh, it didn't work. Try it again. Oh, darn it. It didn't work again. Dave, what are you doing?
Nah, don't worry about it.
Do we have enough? Are we two-part in this?
I think this is a two-parter. I do.
I got to go pee real bad.
Yeah. Where are we at on time?
We're done.
Are we done?
You want to try it? You want to just keep riding?
Just keep riding.
Fucking ride or die. You want to ride or die this
dude, morning? You just want to keep riding, dude?
You need a snack or something?
Do I need a snack or something? Oh, man.
Remember that other time you just peed out back here? I was like, don't do that. There's neighbors.
When did I do that?
You peed right out here.
Well, I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah, but this is my home.
Not my home.
Well, all we've done is just, we haven't even talked about the ranch.
Yeah, there's a lot more we got to get to.
Although I'm going to pat myself on the back for thinking that's the effort is to just undermine the missiles.
I'm sure.
No, I think I read some about it too. It's not like I'm broken open. I'm sure BuzzFeed has an article. I'm sure a reporter from BuzzFeed. I'm sure a reporter from HuffPo broke in.
Where are we at on time?
Hour, baby.
That's nothing. We should just do 2-hour episodes.
Fuck it, man.
If it were up to you, we'd do 22-minute episodes.
Yeah.
Like a multicam sitcom.
Yeah, fucking get it. Oh, hey, stay tuned for next week.
The Boogie Monster.